When Jesus came in the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And we saw that when Peter spoke in verse 17, and he says, "Thou art the Christ," verse 16, "the Son of the living God," Jesus acknowledged he knew that by revelation. And we said, God reveals himself. You don't find him out. He reveals himself to us. In John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word." I would say the word "Word" precedes Scriptures. The Word precedes the Scriptures. So it means the Word. Okay, I'll say that again. The Word precedes the Scriptures. The Word precedes the Scriptures. Now, don't you say the Word fulfills the Scriptures? Does it make sense? The Word fulfills the Scripture. So, the Scriptures were written for the Word. The Scriptures were written for Jesus. In John 5:39, he says, "Search the Scriptures, from them you think you have eternal life." He said, "They are they which testify of me. They speak of me." So, he fulfills the Scriptures. That's why, you know, Hebrews 4:12, the God of Hebrews says, "The Logos of God is alive." The Logos of God, the Word of God, is alive. He's not talking about the spoken word. The spoken word was used by the prophets. Hebrews 1:1, "God, who has sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in time past in the prophets, but are in this last day," this last time, spoken in his Son. See the difference now? Spoken in his Son. He's not agreeing words. The prophets were speaking words concerning him. He is the fulfillment of everything they said. Hallelujah. He is the Logos of God. Hallelujah. The Word. The reason for everything. So, we went back with John. Go back to John 19. Amen. Is that where we stopped? John 19. Hallelujah. John 19. So, Jesus' obedience is for us. Okay, let's start with Jesus' incarnation is mine. Do you believe that? Okay, let's say it again. Jesus' incarnation is mine. His temptation is mine. His overcoming the temptation is mine. His suffering are mine. His persecutions are mine. Does it make sense to you? Does it make sense? His rejection is mine. Hallelujah! Because he is the gift of God. He is the gift of God. Hallelujah. He is the gift of God to us. So John 19. It is accomplished. Use the word teleos. It is accomplished. Kind of the same meaning with the word plerol. It is accomplished. It is fulfilled. And we said, Jesus didn't fulfill everything on the cross. Because we just read now that he fulfilled things by his incarnation. He fulfilled things by his temptation. He fulfilled things by his persecution. So on the cross also, he fulfilled things, but he didn't fulfill everything. Now, for instance, there's a verse of scripture that confuses people. In Luke's Gospel 23, you get there too. Luke's Gospel 23. When he spoke to one of the thieves, you know, that was hunger with him, and he says to the man, he says, "Verily I say unto thee," Luke's Gospel 23, verse 43, "today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Now, if Jesus simply meant, "Today you will be with me in paradise," if he meant this, by the way, was it Thursday or Friday? Good Friday is Friday, obviously. And Easter is Sunday morning. Right? How many days and nights is that? That's not complete. Not true. That means he fulfilled scripture. That'll be 3 days and three nights. Hallelujah. 3 days and three nights. Well, I'm not particular about which day of the week it is. Could have been a Monday, a Tuesday, or Wednesday. Some folks, Good Friday, they don't eat meat. I asked a fellow years back, why don't you eat meat? He said, you'd be like you're eating Jesus. Religion can really make you look stupid. So when he said, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now, there are many times the word today or this day, in that day, and it's not referring to a day of the week. Rather, it's referring to a period. Hallelujah. Are you still there? So when he said today, which day? Now, go to John's gospel, where just about the time he was to die, he said the word day, today, that day, in John's gospel, chapter 14. Verse 20. He says, at that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. You know, he's not talking about a day of the week. Praise the Lord. At that period. At that period. That's what he meant. In John's Gospel 16:2. He says, in that day, at that day 26. John's Gospel 16:26. At that day, John's Gospel 16:23 says, in that day you shall ask me nothing, not a Monday or a Tuesday. John's Gospel 16:26, at that day you shall ask in my name. So when it says day, it's not a day of the week. It's talking about a period of activities. So when he says in Luke's Gospel 23, verse 43, verily I say unto you, today, or this day, thou shalt be with me in bliss. That word bliss there is the word paradise there means bliss. Okay? You shall be with me, like I say, you shall be with me in glory. Now, he definitely is not talking about a particular day of the week or 24 hours. He's talking about a series of activities, events in a period. Notice, he doesn't go into paradise, yet he tells the guy, you will be with me in paradise. Because what he was going to do will ensure the guy ends up in bliss. Hallelujah. You understand that? Praise the Lord. So he's just saying, you will be with me today. Because if he said, you will be with me today, that will mean, just like we have misunderstood John's Gospel 19:30, he fulfilled everything on the cross. We were singing, Lord, because of me, you gave up your life on the cross of Calvary, shedding your blood for me. Not right. Jesus, in Luke's Gospel 24, told us what he would fulfill. O fool, slow of heart, that verse again. To believe all the prophets have spoken, had not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? Ought not Christ to have what? Suffered these things. Which things? Now, he's speaking on the third day. After the third day. So, he says, ought Christ not to have suffered these things, and then to enter into his glory. In other words, he will enter into his glory after he had suffered. Correct? Is that correct? Now, so in Luke's Gospel again, 24, verse 45. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Let's take verse 46 together. 46, let's go. And he said unto them, and it's written, and thus is foretold, Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day. That means he will be dead for how many days? Huh? He will be dead for how many days? So how would it be correct to say everything was finished on the cross? If he was going to suffer for 3 days, not just 3 days actually, 3 days and three nights. So everything couldn't be finished on the cross. Yes, the cross also fulfilled the scriptures. But the cross does not fulfill all the scriptures. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Now, let us see what the scriptures that Jesus fulfilled in 1 Corinthians 15. The reason why we don't have much information in the four gospels, because the four gospels were human witness accounts. And they couldn't just say more than what they saw. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 3, I'll start from verse 1. Moreover, this is Paul speaking, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand. Verse 2, so say the gospel. Say the gospel. Now, by which also you are saved. Say, I'm saved. Now, if you keep memory, what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. I want us to take verse 3 and verse 4 together. Are you ready? Are you ready? Now let's go. For I have delivered unto you, first of all, that which I received. How that Christ died for our sins. Hold on, hold on. So, can we say, how that Christ died for our sins, fulfilling the scriptures? Now, when it said according to the scriptures, he's not saying the scriptures said that Christ died for our sins. Mm-mm. He's saying in agreement with what was said about him. Are you listening? So, to fulfill all that was said about him, he died for our sins. Now, where did he die? Huh? Where? In the manger. Sometimes some of you think, because some of you are used to revelations, you think I'm going to say something strange. They say, oh, Jesus died. Where did he die? Get out of me. Where did Jesus die? His cross now. Abina. Hallelujah. Cross. Correct? Good. So, when Jesus died on the cross, he was fulfilling the scriptures. Good. Now, look at the next verse. The next verse, let's go. And that he was buried. Where was he buried? On the cross. So, the cross cannot be the final event place of redemption. You listening? Is that clear? At least he wasn't buried on the cross. Are you sure? You know, he was buried, not on the cross. He was buried and rose again when? The third day according to the scriptures. So, the cross, now, did he rise on the cross? Yes, sir. Jesus on the cross. We can't see. Where is he? He's there. He was carried. His physical body. His spirit left his body. And he was buried. So for how long was he buried? Huh? According to? What was he doing when he was buried? Fulfilling scriptures. Correct? So, the cross is not where it was fully accomplished. Is that clear? Then, the third thing, he rose again from the dead. Now, all these are the facts of the same gospel. He rose again from the dead after 3 days. So, notice in 2 Timothy chapter 3, go back there, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 3:16. Now, Paul's writing to Timothy, and he says that from 15, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. In other words, the Scriptures were for salvation. The Scriptures were written concerning him. We read that in 1 Peter 1 from verse 9 to 12. The Scriptures concerning salvation were written concerning him. He will fulfill the Scriptures for our salvation. And he will fulfill the Scriptures, we've seen his incarnation, his sufferings. He will fulfill the Scriptures on the cross. He will fulfill the Scriptures when he's buried. And he will fulfill the Scriptures when he's raised from the dead. Hallelujah. Now, why the entire book is put together and called these Scriptures is because they were concerning one person. They were written about many people, about many people, but they were written concerning one person. So when he rose the third day, he was still fulfilling the Scriptures concerning salvation. None of the event was a passing tense or passing event. Everything was relevant. That is, everything that Jesus did, and listen carefully, from his incarnation to his death, to his burial, they were all for us. So every event, none is more important than the other. They are all together and called the Scriptures. So he rose the third day. That means there were 3 days and 3 nights that none of the 4 witnesses captured. There were 3 days and 3 nights that nobody captured in the 4 Gospels. Let me see if you understand that. There were 3 days and 3 nights. But if we have been told just now, we've just been told that Jesus, in the 3 days and 3 nights, was equally fulfilling the Scriptures, that will mean that we will find evidence of where he went to in the Scriptures. Hallelujah. Are you there? Good. Now, some folks can say, well, he went to the grave. When I was younger, as a preacher, I had a problem with that. Because I felt, okay, he went to the grave. He went to the grave. I know, for instance, that dead people don't stay in the grave. I think everybody knows that. Who doesn't know that? You don't know? Dead people don't stay in the grave. You don't know? Okay, let's get to the grave. Let's go. Let's greet those who are there. There. Their bodies will be there, but they are not there. In fact, if you go there a couple of weeks after, their bodies will not be there again. Right? So, Jesus went to the grave. Mm-mm. If you're dead, and you're dead, and you're in the grave, then you are not dead. Guys, I'm dead, but I'm still here. I'm in the grave. Just give me 3 days and 3 nights. I'll join you after 3 days and 3 nights. I'm in the grave. Don't stress yourself. I will be here for 3 days and 3 nights. And then you guys will just send Mary down to see whether she wants to come and, you know, and then ensure that Peter comes and runs down and stuff like that. So we will all just arrange the whole story. You know, he's somewhere 3 days and 3 nights. And he's not in the sepulchre. Where'd he go? Jesus told us where he went. In Matthew's Gospel 12, verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we will see a sign from you. And he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of a prophet Jonah. Now, people have used this to say, if you have signs and wonders, you're an adulterous generation. That's horrible. Jesus gave enough signs and wonders to the Pharisees and Sadducees. He wasn't talking about miracles. No. He wasn't talking about miracles. At all. They had enough signs and wonders, but he wasn't talking about miracles here. So in verse 40, for as Jonas, that's Jonah, was 3 days and three nights where? In the whale's belly. So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Now when he said the heart, that word there is the belly of the earth. He wasn't referring to the sepulchre. He just basically tells us the location of where he was. Now, Jonah, now, for him to have mentioned Jonah, that means, again, he's referring to what? The scriptures. That means, where he will go to was spoken by who? Jonah. Correct? So, Jonah can give us an idea of where Jesus went to. Now, Jonah was where? Jonah was in the belly of the whale.
That means Jesus too went to the belly of the whale.
Not so. You need to listen to Jonah's prophecy. It's Jonah's prophecy that will locate where Jesus went to, not where Jonah was. Okay? So Jonah 2:1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish belly. Notice what Jonah says. And said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord when he heard me out of the belly of hell. Cried I, and thou heard my voice. Where was Jonah? In the belly of? Jonah was where? So verse 2 is a prophecy. Is that clear? Verse 1 is what was happening to him. Verse 2 will be a prophecy. The word hell is the word Sheol in the Hebrew. It is the place of the dead. Jonah was in the whale's belly, but because he's a prophet, the Spirit of Christ in him was testifying of the sufferings of Christ. So he speaks out about Jesus. Let me see if you got that. Okay, so Jesus, when he said the heart of the earth, that's Jonah's hell. Hades in the Greek, Sheol in the Hebrew. It simply means the place of the dead. So I said the place of the dead. There was a place for the dead. Now, many translators translated the place hell. Very bad translation. If I were to translate it, I wouldn't call it hell. Because the word here is the place of the dead. Sheol. And the word in the Greek is Hades. H-A-D-E-S. The place of the dead. It's not called hell. It's a place of the dead. But translators just left it at hell because they had no idea. In Matthew 16, Jesus gives us the idea. Upon this rock, I will build my church. Verse 18, and the gates of Hades, the gates of the place of the dead, shall not prevail against it. Now, the word prevail against it means cannot resist it, cannot stop it in the Greek. So basically Jesus is referring to his resurrection. That I will build my church from my resurrection. That is the gates of the place of the dead, because Jesus is going to the place of the dead. Referred to as Hades, referred to as hell. And he says the gates of the place will not prevail against it. Now quickly, the word gates means authority. In Hebrews 2, 14, 15, Jesus, by his own death, destroyed him that had the power of death, authority of death, that is the devil. So he's saying, by Jesus' redemptive sacrifice, he's going to strip the gates of hell or the gates of Hades of his authority. Hallelujah. That's not my message today. Wait for that later. So he tells us where he went to. In Acts 2. You know, he came back and then he had series of teachings with his disciples. 40 days and 40 nights. Some of you would have left his church. Jesus talks too much. 40 days and 40 nights. We want someone who has cutting-edge Bible teaching. He can connect. See, Jesus doesn't care whether you're sleeping in his meetings. Paul didn't care too. Praise God. Can the pastor see that I'm sleeping already? My eyes have been closing 20 times per second. Interesting. How can you hear about Jesus and you're sleeping? You know the kind of people, you're preaching the word of God, they're dozing. You know how we say, I'm desperate for you. I'm lost without you. You're correct. Acts 2. Amen. Glory to God. Verse 25. And the prophecy comes here. For David speaks concerning him, Acts 2:25. I foresaw the Lord always. Don't mind Peter. He's not doing anything. It was Jesus' teaching that he's giving back. After 40 days, you should know this one. Jesus told them what happened. Are you listening? Don't think he's giving any rev. He didn't study extra. He says, for he is on my right hand, and I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh also rests in hope. Remember, Jesus told them the things concerning himself. His sufferings, and the glory that should follow. So look at the suffering. Because thou wilt not abandon my soul where? So where did his soul go to? So Jesus went to? Everybody go to hell. So Jesus has been there. His obedience is mine. Hallelujah. Amen. Ain't you glad? Neither will thy suffer the Holy One to see corruption. So Jesus went where? He went to hell. In 31, he seen this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not abandoned in hell. So where did he go to? He went to hell. The word Hades, the place of the dead. The same place, Luke 16 said, Abraham, the rich man, and Lazarus went to hell, the place of the dead. Hades in the Greek, not translated hell, but Hades, but I said hell, so that you can know he went to hell. Amen. So he went to Hades. In Romans chapter 10, Paul gave us a clearer picture. He says in verse 6, but the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise. Romans 10. Say not in thy heart, who shall ascend to heaven, that is to bring Christ from above. Let's take verse 7 together. Or who shall descend where? The word deep there is the word abyss. Abyss, A-B-I-S-S, some verses like that. It's the same word translated in Revelation 20:13, bottomless pit. Bottomless pit. That's why Jesus mentioned the heart of the earth. Jesus went to the bottomless pit. He went to the place of the dead. In Ephesians chapter 4. Hallelujah. You learning something? Ephesians chapter 4. Now pause, don't forget, Jesus' obedience was for, good. Everything that Jesus did is in my account. Everything he did is mine. Okay, so let's start again. Jesus went on the cross for me. Let's do it together. Jesus went on the cross for me. Go, say again. Jesus went to the cross for me. Jesus went to hell. I think I read it now. Jesus went to hell for me. For me, is going to hell is mine. I have it now. Hallelujah. I didn't say you have hell now. I said you have what he did. He went to hell for you. No, Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 says, in verse 8. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he left captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it also? He descended first, where? To the lower parts of the earth. The lower parts of the earth. This isn't talking about the grave. Grave is usually about 6 feet. Hallelujah. He went to hell. Same place that Jonah spoke about. The place of the dead. Why did he do that? He did that for us. He was incarnate for us. He was tempted for us. Because he was tempted, Hebrews 4:15 says he became our high priest. He was qualified to be our high priest. So everything qualified him for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Why did he go to hell? Why did he go to the place of the dead? 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him sin for us. So I say for us. He made him sin for us. Who knew no sin? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, when was he made sin? On the cross. Now, listen to what I'm going to say now. And make sure your ears are open. If you are half asleep, please sleep on. It's important so you get into error. We didn't become righteous because he went to the cross. No. That will mean just by his death we're made righteous. That's not true. It says, he made him sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be. That is the intention. That it is part of a series of actions. Hallelujah. If he died and he remained dead, we would never have been declared righteous. So note that. I'll explain it later. So he was made sin for us. Don't say for us. So Romans 5, 8. He says, God commended his love towards us while we are yet sinners. Christ died for us. Now we saw the issue of the love of God from the incarnation. From the suffering. Now, he's moving step by step. He becomes like one of us. Then he's now in our place. Then he's now on the cross just for every one of us. And on the cross, he's made sin. On the cross, he becomes a sin bearer. 1 Peter 2:24 says he bore our sins on his own body. 1 Peter 3:18, he says he died once, the just. For the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Once. I'll say once. Say again once. Good. So he died once. Once and for all. What kind of death did he die? Listen well. What kind of death did he die? Remember what John said. Behold, he says, the Lamb of God. Not behold one that is like a Lamb of God. He says, behold the Lamb of God that takes away. The word takeaway is the same word with the word remission. They carry the same intent. It simply means he took away. Now, if he took away the sin of the whole world, from where? He takes away the sin. From where? That's important to know. He takes away the sin of the world. He takes away. That means he separates you from sin. It doesn't mean you will not sin. But he separates you from the sin. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole world. Right on the cross in Matthew 27 verse 20, verse 46. He fulfills Psalm 22 verse 1. Don't forget he fulfills many things. Psalm 22 verse 1. David is speaking as a prophecy. My God, why have you forsaken me? And Jesus uses the same words. Because those words were Jesus' words, only that David spoke it ahead of time. Hallelujah. Those were Jesus' words. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, how many of you know Jesus was not kidding? He wasn't reacting to pain. Jesus, by saying that, was fulfilling what? Scripture. That means he was forsaken. That means he was forsaken. He was abandoned. So Jesus was abandoned for me. So that again is in my account. Jesus was abandoned for me. Why have you forsaken? He bore our sins on his own self. The word self there goes beyond the physical body. His self means self, spirit, soul, and body. Jesus paid for sins. He bore sins, listen carefully, spirit, soul, and body. Because he's a man. The word in 1 Peter 2:24, he bore our sins on his own self. So it means he bore our sins in his humanity. And his human spirit, soul, and body, he bore everything for us. On the cross, he was made sin. On the cross, he was abandoned. And because he was abandoned, he's dead. So he goes to the place of the what? Can you say the place of the abandoned? Hallelujah. So he goes to the place of the abandoned. Jesus goes there. He goes there. On the cross. He fulfills that on the cross. He goes to hell, the place of the dead, of the abandoned, of those who are not in fellowship with God. He goes there, even though he is God that became a man. He's suffering. Hallelujah. He goes to the place of the dead. Now, we have a type in the Old Testament called the atonement. Now, watch this. The word atonement is not a word for what Christ did. The word atonement is a symbolic practice of what Jesus did. Jesus did not atone for us. The word atonement is a symbolic ceremony in Leviticus 16:17 and 17. 16 most importantly. I'll just give you a picture of that and you study that. In the atonement, two critical things happen. In the atonement, they take two animals, two goats. One of the goats, what happens to that goat? Please listen carefully. That goat is killed. And when that goat is killed, Leviticus 16, they take his blood. The high priest, he purifies himself, and then the people, and he goes into the holiest of all with that blood. He takes that blood and then he puts that blood in or on the mercy seat. Then there's another one, which is called the goat of escape, called the scapegoat. The goat of escape, the high priest, he laid hands on that goat. And what he does to that goat is he confesses the sins of everyone, all the sins of the people. It confesses on that goat. That goat is not killed. That goat symbolically is led into the wilderness. It just goes. That one isn't killed. That one is alive. So, that means the atonement gives us a picture of redemption. Oh, Jesus is Lord. One aspect of it is the death of the sacrifice or the substitute. The other aspect is that the substitute, while being alive, still carries the responsibility of the sins of the people. Are you listening? Are you listening? I'll go back later. I'll say that again. The first goat is killed. And when the first goat is killed, the atonement doesn't end when it's killed, just like the cross. The blood is now taken into the holiest of all. Now, usually, it should have been the same animal that would do it, but the animal can't be raised from the dead. So another animal is taken, the same kind of specification, and then the sins are put on that animal, and that one goes, it's for the Lord. It goes to appear before the Lord too. So that animal, he is alive carrying the responsibility of sin. We're going to see that later, how Jesus saves in his death and in his life. Hallelujah. Just follow me. We're about to get to camp meeting in a moment. Amen. So, hallelujah. Are you there? So, he is killed. The animal is killed. The animal is alive. Hallelujah. So, the atonement mirrors that to us. Because many times, when we talk about redemption, we all talk about the death of Jesus. But the death of Jesus is not all the gospel. Come on, you quiet? Amen. So, all the sins of the people are confessed. All the sins are confessed on that animal. And that animal goes. So when the animal is killed, when the goat is killed, the atonement is just about to start. The atonement doesn't end with the death of the animal. It just starts. So Jesus on the cross is the beginning. If I were to title this teaching, I'll call it After 3 Days. Hallelujah. Are you ready for that? After 3 days. Amen. So, the work starts on the cross. Glory to God. He becomes sin. He's fulfilling scripture. Concerning himself for us. We can never obey the scripture. Because we're meant for Him. For us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the high priest does that work. Then another man takes the goat. Leviticus 16. And everybody was mirroring what Jesus would do. Many guys get lost to know what Jesus did because they wonder the blood and then the animal. Everything was about Him. He will be the animal. He will be the high priest. He will be the young man. He is everything. He is the center of it all. Hallelujah. You know, He goes to heaven. On the third day, He goes as the high priest. Where is His offering? He is the offering. He is the one that was slain. He is the lamb that is also alive. Because the new covenant doesn't offer dead sacrifices. It has to be a living sacrifice. Thanks be unto God. Hallelujah. So He goes, the sacrifice is alive. Amen. What does He do? Look at 1 John 2. I guess I'll start closing here now. Amen. 1 John 2. You learning something? 1 John 2. Everything about your salvation is not in the past tense. Hallelujah. Glory to God! 1 John 2. 1 John 2. Glory to God. 1 John 2. See how John puts it. Hallelujah. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. You talking past tense or present tense? Huh? Past tense. These things I write unto you that you should not have sinned. That you sin not. Now we say that you sin not, that means you could sin. So he says, but if any man sin, we used to have We had, what do we have? An advocate, a guarantor. The one that was alive. You know, he's not talking about the past tense here. Glory. Glory. I said glory. Woo! Glory. We have an advocate with. With, because that other goat was for Jehovah. With Jehovah. with the Lord, with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sin. He is a present tense, a present day reality. Not for us only, but for the sins of the whole world. If you read Leviticus 16 verse 21, He says, He will confess. They will confess, give me the microphone. The sins of the whole world. Hallelujah. So Jesus' death, His burial, His resurrection, and His life now is our salvation. Is our salvation. Is our salvation. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? So we want to investigate what happened after 3 days. Are you ready? Are you ready? Hallelujah. After 3 days. Somebody, after 3 days. Say, after 3 days. Raise your hands and bless him.